I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and order scenes with footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 13th day of February. The prep tip of the day is to get and read the following book. That would be World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin. Ed Griffin is a friend of mine. This book's been around for decades. You'll find the protocols I've been using for more than a quarter century for how to not get cancer in that book, World Without Cancer. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Dave Hodges. He has two websites, thecommonsenseshow.com and thecommonsenseshow.tv. Steve Bandoon's website, israelinewslive.org, and my friend Cindy Smith. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Everybody there? Steve, you're on mute. Cindy's on mute. Well, guys, we had the biggest TV show of the world 2 days ago. When I heard they were going to play the Black National Anthem, whatever that is, I decided not to watch it. And it's a really big deal, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I thought this was a country that represented all the citizens. And no disrespect to anybody, but we have one national anthem.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I didn't watch it. It was only a week ago Sunday I found out who was playing. I have no interest in professional football whatsoever, unless my grandson was playing, and his spot with one of the Canadian football teams was lost when the COVID shut down all the tryouts, and that's probably okay also. let's talk about scheduling here. Dave, what's your availability this morning, sir?
At this hour.
1 hour. And Steve, your availability. You're on mute, Steve. Hello, Steve. Steve's on mute. Well, he's probably taking a break right now. And Cindy, I believe you can stay with us the entire 2 hours. Cindy's on mute also. Well, Dave, we'll go back to you.
Okay.
It's live radio. And I know you have a list of priorities. What's the top priority for you this morning, sir?
I think what it is not letting us get into the WHO pandemic situation. Disease X is mythical, yet to be created. I'm sure they're working on something in a biolab. They're probably working on disease X, Y, and Z. But right now, it's mythical, yet it's going to impose medical martial law on all signatory nations. And I have no doubt that Biden's going to sign it. And the only hope that we have is for Congress to block it.
Well, what do you think? Will Congress block it or not?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And I think also, too, that Biden would take a congressional rejection and just do an executive order. I mean, he'd just bypass him like he does everything else.
All right. And Cindy, you're with us now also. Good morning. You're there and you're gone. You're there and you're gone. Good.
I'm having tech issues. I think I've got them resolved as long as everyone can hear me now.
All right. You're scheduling this morning. You can stay with us the entire 2 hours, my dear.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, we got Dave and Steve for the first hour only. And Steve, turning over to you for a moment. And what's the highest priority for you to speak about this morning, sir?
We are probably going to be looking more back into the Middle East there, Syria specifically. Did we get into the fact that the Chinese are working with the Syrian government last week, John? I don't know if I knew that information at that point.
Well, I don't recall that specifically, but we cover a lot of territory. Go ahead and give us a summary, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, the problem that we're dealing with, and in fact, I've just got a new update. I'll have to review this here in just a second. But I'll throw this out there and then get you guys to comment, and then I'm going to review the information coming right out of the Middle East as of right now. But as we already know, we're sending troops over there. And I think back in January, that was public, whether it was in U.S. media or not, I'm not sure. They were talking about sending 1,500 more troops over to Syria. The number is going to be much, much larger than that. And it's mainly because, you know, we had the bases attacked. We actually had four bases attacked, not two. And we had a little over 80 soldiers killed or wounded. As a result of that, one of the reasons why we had 85 strikes, at least that was a hypothesis put to me by one of the intel guys I know in the Middle East. He felt like that we were sending a message to the Iranians when we struck 85 targets back. But the big issue is that China is in heavy cooperation with Syria right now because of the Silk Road Initiative, basically moving the new, in my opinion, the infrastructure for the New World Order forward. And of course, I've been speaking now for, I don't know, 3 years now about how that the hegemony of the Middle East, the Pacific region is all going to be changing. This is from Israeli intel, where they were telling me that, you know, we're basically being pushed out because China is going to become that new world superpower in a new world order. At least that's their objective. And so even when we see, when sometimes people look at Russia and they think, well, Putin's not a bad guy after all, you got to keep in mind he's playing right along with, in fact, using the verbiage now, New World Order. So with China working with Syria, Russia already working with Syria, knowing that there have been Chinese troops on the ground in battles inside of Iraq, also as well as Syria. That's definitely not mainstream media nowhere that I'm aware of. But I'm aware of that these things do go on. They have suffered some high casualties in their conflicts that they've had, but they've been doing it to get the experience of fighting, and also because they're basically setting up the operation to protect their own Silk Road as it goes towards the Middle East, and then of course ultimately down into Africa. Another reason, hence, why there's so much battle for countries in Africa, because that's part of that Silk Road Initiative. So basically, troop buildup and things are going to get nastier, no doubt, from what we see coming up. And then, of course, we've got Ukraine we can go to a little bit later here.
Well, before we move forward, for the benefit of listeners who don't know what the Silk Road Initiative is, could you give us a quick summary, please, Dave?
Yeah, the Silk Road, they say that this was, this was Xi Jinping's brainchild idea to reestablish the ancient Silk Road from thousands of years ago. But in reality, it was not. It was a Jewish guy over in Hungary that came up with it, and then they passed it on to Xi Jinping. But what it is to reestablish those trade routes throughout the world. So China has been building this massive rail system that connects China to Europe, to going into Israel. That's one reason why they're rebuilding the ports, and as well going down to South Africa and parts of Russia. But oddly enough, our part of the hemisphere is left out of the Silk Road Initiative, which is interesting in itself, makes you wonder what their plans are for us. But it is to create a global economic system. And quite frankly, the BRICS nation, which are the where they get the acronym from, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and I forget the other one there, but Dave can probably help us out with that there. That's their new economic system that they have created. And steadily, countries are now joining in with it, including Israel. Israel has not made it public, but because I happen to know one of the chief economists of Israel there, that works directly with the government, I've already been told that they've already negotiated with the BRICS nations on joining in with them as well, and they have been dumping the U.S. dollar in the process.
All right. Dave, what's next on your list of priorities, sir?
Well, take your pick. I mean, Steve, something I think is really important is the forces are lining up against us, and we are isolated, but I think we have to really look at the border. I know it's the number one concern, according to the polls, for average Americans. And I do not trust Abbott any farther than I can throw him. But right now, I don't know if he's a Trojan horse, but he's on the right side of what he's doing. And it's about time that someone stood up to this illegitimate federal government that's facilitating this invasion. What really frightens me is we don't really have clear intel on how many terrorists, what their nature is, what are their capabilities. One of the things that a Border Patrol agent told me, and this got validated somewhat later, Border Patrol agent told me a month ago that last year 23,000 Chinese soldiers were interdicted coming into California. 23,000. Now, if you use the getaway factor that Trump came up with, 6-to-1 ratio, that means we're looking at over 130,000 that are potentially here. And that's an army. And so I'm wondering now, is this going to go beyond the attack on, structures like the grid, other public utility structures? Is it going to turn into actual combat operations? Is this like dropping paratroopers behind the lines before an invasion actually takes place? I'm very, very concerned about the fifth column, which might be much larger than the typical fifth column, and what we're looking at down the road here. And we're doing absolutely nothing on a federal level, seemingly to gather intelligence or to devise preventing methods from all the damage that can be done.
Well, there's been people point out, historians like my friend Jeff Nyquist, my Wednesday guest, that what the Chinese are doing is duplicating what the Germans did with Norway in the 1930s. They brought in thousands of German soldiers as tourists, wearing civilian clothes. Their uniforms and equipment and weapons were already pre-positioned in warehouses. And when the order came, they put on their military uniforms, picked up their weapons, and they were already in Norway, ready to help take over the country. That's being pointed out as what the Chinese hope to duplicate here, Dave.
I think that's probably very accurate. But the size and scope is incredible.
It's a big country.
Yeah, well, we have the villains, we have people from 150 countries, according to what my Border Patrol sources tell me. 150 countries. This is the worst case of treason in the history of the United States. And at least Abbott, whether he's real or not, is identifying the issues for what they are. And I really think we need to get to a point where we're doing the European farmer's imitation, where we just say, no and hell no, we're not going along with anything this government does. We just need to say we withdraw our consent.
Well, at some point that'll happen. Hopefully it won't be too late, Dave.
Now's the time. We might be past the point of no return. I mean, we are in dire trouble. I read these projections, John, and I don't know how accurate they are, but if we got into a world war, I've read we have 2 weeks of ammunition. I don't know if that's accurate in terms of the calendar figure, but I know it's accurate in terms of our capabilities, because we've been drained with what's gone to Ukraine. In fact, we had many people in the military speaking out at one time, including the head of the Navy, when he said we have ammunition shortages across the board. We have bomb and missile shortages across the board. And what have we done to replace that? And here we're antagonizing the Middle East with a war that we can't possibly sustain.
Well, shortages of supplies, equipment, spare parts is nothing new. A friend of mine, he's now retired, but he was working for Boeing. His job was to find F-15 parts that were in various military installations all over the planet on an as-needed basis, trading back and forth to keep the F-15s flying. There's nothing new about logistical issues. And, of course, that's in normal times when we have training taking place and we're not suffering combat losses. When you start suffering combat losses, logistics gets really severe really quick, doesn't it, Dave?
It really does. And you're right. The spare parts issue is going to be critical for us, like we've seen with third world countries that we fought in the past, where they didn't have the manufacturing capability for spare parts. Well, we've done it to ourselves by allowing critical infrastructure of military to go overseas. We're too dependent on the Chinese for the critical element. I forget the name of it. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a critical element mineral that's part of ammunition, and the Chinese control 80% of the world's supply. And that is absolutely foolish. And of course, we've done it with our cancer medications right across the board. I mean, we're held captive and hostage by China right now, whether we admit it or not. And we've done it to ourselves. And it really appears to be intentional. For the life of me, John, I don't know why American politicians would basically subvert our national interests, which could hurt their families down the road, to a foreign interest like this. Except I'll say one thing. The longer these war conflicts go on, with all the insider trading that should never be allowed by Congress, but they get most of their insider trading money from the defense industry. So the more that we fight, the more wars we get into, the more they benefit. And I think a draft is coming. And I think then we may see our European farmer movement in this country where people will say no and hell no to the draft. And it won't be the parents that are doing it. I think it'll be the younger generations because they're not buying into this tyranny.
Well, I say good for them. My oldest grandson is right at the edge of being too old to be drafted, but my youngest grandson is prime. He's a senior in high school. His twin sister would be too, but she has a health condition that would prevent her from being drafted. And I'll do whatever it takes to keep these youngsters from being drafted myself. It's just wrong on the face of it.
John, I'll speak to my family interest here. I have a son who's 23, and he's taking his LSAT to get into law school. And if the draft comes, we're going to Belize. They got law schools. They got things there that I can do professionally, and they speak English. And as long as you're not in the central core areas of the cities, Belize isn't a bad place to live, and it's got a lot of expats. And that's only one plan I have on the drawing board. But we are not submitting to a military draft in any way, shape, or form. We will not fight for Biden's purposes.
Well, yes, Belize was formerly part of the British Commonwealth, so they certainly speak English there. And let's see, Steve, going back to Steve, what's list next on your list of priorities, sir?
Well, one thing I will quickly tell you, Dave, Belize was an excellent hub for the CIA. It was one of the air runways that they were using to smuggle the drugs out of South America into the United States. I kind of know that firsthand. We won't go into that issue, but I don't know if you guys are aware of this already. Maybe, I'm sure you guys are. But Sheriff Richard Jones, he's with Butler County. I don't know if that's the Butler County in Ohio or where, but he was a part of the National Convention of Sheriffs in Washington, D.C. And when he returned back to his county there, he addressed the news and the public there about the threats that the FBI was talking about that we face. He's talking about how that Biden would not meet with neither the heads of the sheriff's hierarchy, neither the heads of the chief of police hierarchy, with the threats that we're facing, and said that the red flags that are going off, the FBI director told them this, the red flags going off in the United States are worse than what they were before 9/11, which I find that interesting that these things keep getting compared to 9/11, which seems to speak of, you know, red flags all over the place, in my opinion, just in itself. But, you know, I've shared with you guys before about the sleeper cells, the cells that are being trained even by agencies, three-letter agencies in this country here, that they're planning on using against the American public to help bring this nation to the place where, in my opinion, they can declare martial law. And he spoke about Israel and October 7th and what Hamas did to the Jewish people there, which is absolutely a tragedy. But again, many people in the Israeli arena there, the citizens as well as military and others, have come out and said that that was a setup as well in order to be able to justify what the powers that be really wanted to achieve. So when I look at what I'm seeing here, I can't help but think, you know, the amazing American people were being set up. We know that they're going to try to do this to bring this nation down. And at the same time, you know, are we really aware that it's people within the powers that be that are setting this up against us?
Yeah, I think that they absolutely are. And Steve, I want to ask
you. Hold on, Dave. Steve, we got a break. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I have not one but two Valentine's Day sales going on right now. They end at midnight tomorrow night, the 14th. Yes, gentlemen, it is Valentine's Day tomorrow, the 14th. The first is Liberated Rocket Heaters, $500 off, a great savings. The second is Energy Cleaner, $25 off Energy Cleaners, 25% off the mattress pads, additional 5% off the entire order if you use PayPal at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us my friend Cindy Smith. We have Steve Ben-Noon. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. And Dave Hodges. He has two websites, TheCommonShow.com and TheCommonShow.tv. Dave, you were cut off by the break here, if you want to continue.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Steve. I came across some information with Paul Preston several years ago, and it was in relationship to La Raza and Reconquista de Atzalan, which was basically a plan to take the states that were taken from Mexico, the areas in 1848 in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. And they had expanded it to the idea that there was plans to begin to execute as many white people in public as possible. And I kid you not, this was actually something that we came across. And Paul and I talked about this recently on an interview I did with him. And we're both of the opinion that this document was just too early to really be considered, because we thought, is this imminent? I think this might have been made for our time, with all the intrusion we've had with illegal aliens that are possibly terrorists, tied to breaking up the United States, decentralizing it. And there's certainly been a lot of efforts along those lines. I'm wondering if widespread terrorism with mass public attacks is not in our future. And I'm telling you, John, these documents were real. And I don't think I still have possession of them, because we're talking maybe 8 or 9 years ago. But I am very, very concerned, obviously, about the people that are in this country and what they have planned. And clearly, there is an anti-white sentiment coming out of this administration. And I can't believe the terrorists that they're purposely letting into the country would feel any differently.
I doubt that. I doubt that. You got any follow-up, Steve, on Dave's comments?
Yes. And, you know, Dave, they're indirectly, I have heard about this type of information as well. And of course, I guess you're of the knowledge too, that there is real plans to break up the nation into four regions and have it ran by super governors. And there, and in that discussion that I had a few years back, there was some discussion about parts of the southern states there ending up back in Mexico's hands once again. And of course, it would definitely be done by, a conflict. And one of the reasons why we know that they just streamed the people across the border there with no problem whatsoever. And quite frankly, even this whole situation on the Texas border and, you know, the U.S. government getting involved and the, you know, the different states willing to come and back up Texas, to me, that is already showing the move towards the breakup of the nation and getting ready for those super governors. So oddly enough, every move that is being made to me is almost calculated. And, it's really hard to know, even if they do successfully break the union up like that into these four regions, were the four regions complicit in it as well, or are they just being manipulated to a point where they don't realize they're being manipulated into that by the powers that be in the background? It's hard to say on that order there.
There's another element of this, too. My Latin American source, Sam Arnold, gave us information on my show, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, where Abbott was actually conspiring. And we've seen some documents with intergovernment cooperation that would certainly indicate this, that he was conspiring with the four northern states of Mexico, that if there were a civil war in the United States, Texas would break away and join these four states, as they would also break away from Mexico. So the decentralization theme is there. I remember a Russian professor 15, 20 years ago said the U.S. would be broken up into 10 regions. So there clearly is a move to break up this country and decentralize it. Some people think, too, that Hawaii is going to move in that direction. I know that British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and Northern California are part of a super plan called Cascadia, and that comes right out of the UN. Now, that's been dormant for a while, but that was a hot topic when CalExit was going on. And CalExit, as people might remember, was the plans for California to withdraw from the union and become a protectorate of the UN. And they went as far, and I got pictures on my website of this, to even have a makeshift embassy in Moscow to celebrate this. Now, the CalExit movement's been taken over by the Obama people. Eric Holder is a prime player in this. So I could talk forever about this, but decentralization is a central theme and a central plan to be done to the United States. They're not just going to take this country down, they're going to break it apart.
Exactly. And this is also the plan for Russia. One reason why that they're not backing down off of their threat to Russia, they would like to break up Russia into several different regions as well.
Well, this is my fantasy. Trump gets elected, and that's part fantasy. Trump and Putin combined together to form an alliance to go against this new world order.
That would be phenomenal, to say the least. We have a bottom of the hour break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
No food, no lights, no roof cover, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's primitive as can be.
Don't be a victim. Is your home and car protected from an EMP event, or will you be a victim? EMP Shield will protect your home, car, or generator from the damaging effects of an electromagnetic pulse and lightning. Folks, this is the exact equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect their infrastructure, and each unit comes with $25,000 of insurance coverage. To get a $50 discount on each unit purchased, go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Or call the toll-free order line 24 hours a day. 800-592-9543. That's 800-592-9543. Don't be a victim.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning, look away. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. My friend Steve O'Neill, the nuclear engineer and nuclear scientist, has been active, writing new articles published at his panel. We have a special panel just for Steve O'Neill's articles. The latest one today, I think people will find fascinating. I have not one but two Valentine's Day sales in effect right now until midnight tomorrow night. Gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so don't be caught off guard here. Valentine's Day is tomorrow the 14th. The first is the Liberator Rocket Heater, $500 off. That's a tremendous saving. We have them boxed up ready for shipment. The second is the Energy Cleaner, $25 off Energy Cleaners, 25% off the mattress pads, an additional 5% off if you use PayPal. And when you place your order, you pay full price. I do the sale price refund manually. It all takes place at thelibertyman.com or by calling my toll-free line. It's 800-592-9543. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with my friend Cindy Smith. She's on standby. We'll be here the full 2 hours. We have Steve Ben-Noon. He'll be here until the top of the hour. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. And Steve, Dave Hodges, his two websites, TheCommentsShow.tv, TheCommentsShow.com. And let's see. I've lost track of who we I think, Dave, we were with you when the break came, weren't we?
Well, we were just talking about the planned breakup of the United States. But I also think there's a genocidal element to what's coming, too. And I base that on what the Chinese have been saying forever through their defense ministers. I mean, I just wish I could impress upon the average American how much danger we're really in. And I don't live my life in paranoid fantasy here. I'm just looking at what I know to be true. And I know that Americans are cited for national extermination, and I think a lot of us, they'd like to see gone, too, because they can't have people that cherish liberty, know how to make money, are successful, you know, with our traditions in this country. They can't have that and have a new world order with 15-minute cities, no freedom, CBDCs, where they can take all your money from you if you behave or say anything wrong. People don't understand where we're headed. We are headed for what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. And you shall not buy or sell. And these times are really upon us now. And the infrastructure is being laid into place. And the average American's just sleepwalking through it. I mean, they've awakened to the fact that Biden's demented and the administration is totally corrupt, that they don't see the big picture, at least from my perspective.
You got any follow-up to Dave's comments here, Steve?
When he said that Biden's demented, I like to fell out of the chair from laughter. You know, I will tell you, this is no lie, right? Me and my wife, we went to D.C. there and was meeting with a counterpart I had there. And I asked, I said, look, can you arrange for me to be able to go to the White House? I said, I just need 2 minutes with Biden. I said, what I want to do, because at the time my dad was still alive and my dad was same age as Biden, you know, 80 at the time. And I said, I just wanted to let Biden know. So, you know, sir, I really appreciate what you're going through. I know it's difficult. It's very hard. I get it. My dad, like you, 80 years old, trying to run a corporation with dementia, and it just doesn't work.
It doesn't. Cindy, you've been very patient listening to these comments by Steve and Dave. What's your follow-up, if any, my dear?
Well, I have a slightly different take on the breakup of the United States, and that's from a political polity perspective. We're a constitutional republic. We've grown in size dramatically, hundreds of millions of people. As a matter of going forward, I think the country is too big. We've got too many dispersed groups of people. And so even if we didn't have a globalist threat, I think we would be moving toward a decentralized political climate. The real question is going to be, if we do break up, is it going to be under threat from globalists and their aligned factions? Or is it going to be a matter of the American people coming together and decide that they need to go forward with a different structure? It would be lovely if the American people had the opportunity to solve that problem. But we've got to deal with a globalist threat before that would ever become a possibility.
Well said. Well said. Coming back to you, Dave, what's next on your list of priorities that you'd like to discuss this morning?
Just to respond to us.
Or follow up? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me respond to what Cindy said there, and I don't think we're that far apart. I think that the breakup of the U.S. and the subjugation of the U.S. is necessary for a new world order to go forward, but I don't think it's going to be our choice on how it's done. I think we're talking about the aftermath of devastating defeats, whether it's widespread terrorism like a Tet Offensive, you know, the Night of the Broken Glass, whatever you want to call it, or actual military invasion where we're decimated. We're not going to have a say. In my opinion, about how the United States is organized. I think this is post-defeat organization that we're talking about here, so America can never rise again.
That would be the eventual goal, Steve, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And, you know, what's interesting And in light of what Davis said there, and then also in light of what Cindy commented, and I'm glad that she brought this perspective in as well. If you look at the situation with Ukraine and Russia, most people would think, okay, the Russians have invaded. They might say, well, you know, Donetsk, Luhansk region or the Donbass region suffering the tyranny of the Ukrainian people trying to, you know, they're trying to annex for freedom, et cetera. That's what it appears to be. But if you knew Edward Hudo, who was the former mayor of Kharkiv, Ukraine, and, of course, a former rabbi of the Chabad organization for many decades, and then him expose that Menachem Schneerson had clearly pushed for, and publicly he released the actual interview that he did publicly and put it into English, that they would pit the Russians against the Ukrainians, saying that the Russians were taking back part of the motherland and the Ukrainians are fighting for their freedom. But in reality, it was only to kill the Slavs. And Edward Hudo, when he was mayor, he was being asked by the Chabad organization to participate in that future event. That's what caused him to leave the organization, because he refused to go against the people of Ukraine like that, or the Russians.
All right, gentlemen, the panel, we've got a caller and holder, right? Jeff in Massachusetts. Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you, John. This is mainly for Dave. Dave, I watched the video of Sheriff Jones of Ohio, and man, what he said was mind blowing. And thank you, Steve, for putting that insight on the air. Man, when I seen that sheriff, Dave, it terrified me of how weak and vulnerable we really are. This sheriff said that we are on the defense. We have no offense. And there are more red flags for 9/11 today than there was back at 9/11. What do you think of that, Dave?
I think he's right on the money. I just interviewed Sheriff Mack, who's a good friend of mine, yesterday. And he echoed a lot of those comments. And he didn't quite go to the level of the sheriff where he's talking about, or at least he's insinuating, we should have civil defense groups rise up and defend their counties under the leadership of the constitutional sheriff. But Sheriff Mack is speaking right along those same lines. And I do think that this may be the last line of defense, our constitutional sheriffs. And I don't think it's coincidental that Senate Bill 3589, and I forget the number in the House, are coming through, and they want to disallow anything, any organization, whether it's security, militia, whatever it is, three people or more, you'll be declared to be an illegal insurrectionist group and go to prison if you organize this way. And I think that's the head off for the constitutional sheriffs to do what some of them are talking about doing.
Yes, you're right about that. And let me add that, at least in my area, you have two types of places, two types. The first type of city or town is we have what I call Norm American. Norm American makes plenty of money. He's able to go to see the sporting events, enjoy entertainment, giggle and laugh, and is completely oblivious to what is going on. And then you have inner city American, which is what's happening to the black people in Roxbury, Massachusetts, where they're stuffing illegal aliens in a sporting place that they've had for generations, and poor inner cities, so where a lot of people have no clout, not able to really get anywhere, they know what's going on. And then you have a third class, and that's the invaders and the migrants themselves, who they're mixed into a couple of subsets, which is people who are parasiting off the system, people who have zero loyalty to the country, gangbangers, criminals, and maybe other bad actors. And then you have a few that are legal and good people that want to do good. Point is, Dave, the Northeast and the blue states are completely screwed. You can write them off. What do you think about writing off the blue areas and just keeping the red and preserving the red areas and making the red areas stronger?
Well, I think the longer that the degradation of our economy goes on, that more and more people are going to start to act in their own selfish interest. When they can't put shoes on their kids' feet or feed them, then they're going to change allegiances. So I don't know that the write-off is quite as total or will be quite as total as it is right now. I do see the pendulum swinging back the other way at some point, but my fear is it'll be too little too late.
You know, Dave, you're 100% right. Too little too late. I am starting to see people waking up, but guess what? People have not had their face rubbed in the dirt yet so bad that they want to do anything about it. And people don't even really want to talk about it anymore. People are worn out. Because people know in my state, it's like Eastern Europe, your vote doesn't really count. And
it doesn't count here either.
What?
I mean, fair elections went away in 2018, almost in totality. And nothing is. Look at Arizona, the most corrupt state in the country, Maricopa County, the worst county. And the legislature in Arizona is supposedly, and I'm leaving out the rhino factor, majority Republican in both houses. And they didn't pass one bill to modify the election fraud that's going on. That's not going to change. The other thing that you said, I think you accurately delineated some of the groups that are present today that are players in your area. But I would say this, too. My family line on my mom's side comes from the old Ford family. They were cousins to Henry Ford. And when 1929 came, they took a bath and they got no help from good old cousin Henry. And they went from riches to rags overnight. And I think some of that class structure that we're seeing now that exists today is going to change dramatically. And some of the people that think they're fat and happy and go along to get along, they're going to get a rude awakening, as evidenced by my family history.
Hey, Dave, I'll wrap it up with this. Watch Matt Bracken really analyze his work, because more than myself, he really hit the nail on the head. Reread the article called When the Music Stops, because it's a classic essay. Because Dave, I think it's going to be eat the rich. It's going to go down the same way it does in every communist country. We're at the final stage right now, and it's just a matter of time. Thank you for listening to me, Dave, and thank you for having me on your show, John. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay. Before we get to our next caller, Steve, you got a follow-up on Sheriff Jones?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention, and, you know, I guess this would be a good cautionary to note. Don't try this at home, what the sheriff mentioned here, but it's noteworthy here. He mentioned in his briefing that all the sheriffs in their county now are all carrying rifles in their vehicle with a backpack of magazines. This is how seriously they're taking the possibility of any type of breakout to make sure that the sheriff's deputies are more properly equipped in the event that you get into some type of a military altercation that could be taking place in this nation.
All right. You ready for our next call panel? We've got Scott in Illinois. Good morning, Scott.
Hello, John.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yes. I just had a couple questions for Steve. Back in July 18th of 2023, you said on the roundtable that you heard from a few different sources that the grid was going to go down in January. I was wondering if you've heard anything more about that.
Yeah, the thing is those are always the potentials of what they're looking at that could possibly go down. And at the time, and of course, I don't know, I've not ever gotten an update on this part of that grid issue, is that Russia, back then when we first spoke about that, Russia had embedded malware, however that works. I'm not a really computer literate guy on those issues there, but they had put in several things that we were having a very difficult time getting out, and they could effectively shut our grid down at any point given time that they so desire to. And the reason why they were looking at January as being a potential time frame for that is because of global conflict and this spreading further than just what we have over in Ukraine. And of course, I've been here in 2024 for that global conflict to fully mature for probably 4 years now. So, and it is really beginning to look like from 4 years ago, even that 2024 could very well be the year that this all matures.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I just have one other question. Have you heard anything new on this Planet X?
You know, there's a lot of things going on out there, and the one thing that I have always been told that, and I'm even hearing Mike with Paul Begley speak about this more and more finally after years of nobody else saying it, is that this is a system that moves in the ether. It's in and out of the ether. One of the reasons why it's very difficult to detect. And one of the last communications that I had about that was because I could not help but think that using CERN, we basically are going to open up the door to allow this thing in. And I was told that that was spot on.
All right. We have our last break. We'll get back. We'll have Dave give his summary and Steve give his summary. They got to scoot out the door. And we'll continue the Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Cindy Smith. Everybody stay tuned for that back.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back. We'll have Dave, give his summary for the day and the week, then we'll wrap it up with Steve. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, we certainly hit some critical issues today. I think they all centered around the maintenance of the union. And I think Cindy had an excellent point earlier when she said, I'm going to paraphrase, my interpretation was that we've become, I don't know what you'd call it, too diverse to maintain a culture necessary to keep a nation going. And we've done it to ourselves, and it's been intentional. You know, when we used to have immigration back in the 1800s, it was done by the globalists so they could fill the factory jobs, but they naturalized the people when they came in. There was a 7-year naturalization period. You had to learn to speak English. You had to pass a test on American history, American government. And today, there's no such naturalization. It's ollie-ollie, oxen-free, and go wherever you want, do whatever you want. We don't care what your criminal history is. We don't care what your health status is. You can have Ebola. Come on in. And we have purposely done the immigration invasion aspect of this to destroy this country. I think we need to call it out for what it is. And, John, I think Sheriff Jones was an excellent choice to bring up today because we're ultimately – going to have to be like little feudal kingdoms organized by counties, hopefully led by the sheriffs. I wish I didn't have to say this, but I think that's where this is headed. We've been abandoned at every level of government, and I think the last vestige that we have is constitutional sheriffs.
Well, just a quick follow-up. Before Franklin Roosevelt, the only government people had any real relationship was the county government. That all changed in the 1930s. Steve, your summary, please.
You know, I just got a message in from one of my engineer friends in FEMA and who works closely with the sheriff in North Georgia. And she just sent me this message that they're starting to train open up training for civilians for the use of firearms after what Sheriff Jones has put out. They're taking it seriously there, and that they're opening up that training up in that area there. So, you know, when you're seeing the sheriffs around the nations take to heart this type thing there, you know that something not very good is on the horizon in a very, very near future. And I think that they're more concerned closer to the elections, because some of the intel I've gotten on that is that the administration currently, those that are really running the administration behind the scenes, will do everything it takes in order to make sure that this does not change hands.
Change hands in terms of President Trump getting reelected, correct?
Well, they, as it was put to me, they know good and well that he will be reelected if they go through with an election. So they're looking for the out. And quite frankly, this is really not about Biden. This is about who's running the country in his place.
Roger that. And, of course, right down the street from the White House is the Obama mansion. And in my opinion, that's who's running everything. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate you being with us. We have a top of the hour break.
Great to be with you.
We'll return with Cindy Jones and continue the Tuesday Morning Roundtable.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.